Morning Summit fam, Pastor Travis here. So good to be able to see you in this way, although I really wish I could be in the room with you this morning. I'm over at Johnny and Friends in New Hampshire, serving this week with about 8 or 9 of our folks from Summit. Pray for us as we serve here, that we do so well and do so faithfully. With me not being in the room this morning, really excited to introduce the guy that's going to be coming up and sharing God's word for us this morning. His name is John Weller. John and his wife Ree and their kids have been attending Summit for a few months now, and really encouraged by this guy, encouraged for his heart for the Lord. I met him, and I don't know if he's going to tell you the story this morning or not, but I met him and his wife Ree right in the middle of Target, which is a fun story, it was a really cool thing, and to see how God has brought us kind of together to enjoy community now for such a time as this after meeting in Target is, only God can do those things. And so, John, really thankful for you. Can't wait to hear what you have to share from this pulpit this morning. Thankful for you and your heart for God's people. And my only regret is that I'm not there to hear it live and to amen you. I've heard you online a few times, but never live, but that's going to change one day. But John, really thankful for you, praying for you this morning, praying for you as well, Summit, that you would hear exactly what God wants you to hear this morning. So let's join in welcoming John Weller with me this morning.
Good morning. Are we on? Oh, there it is. There it is. Awesome. Well, as Pastor Travis mentioned, my name is John. Give me one second. I'm going to try and lift this. Travis makes it look so easy. Hold on. Thanks for the yay. that was a lot heavier, and he makes that look way too easy. I was thinking, as Travis mentioned, about sharing this story of how we met and just the craziness of who God is. And so COVID, right? Everyone, I don't know, maybe you don't remember, there was this crazy pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it, that happened. And we're in Target, me and my wife, one day, and we're in the home section of Target, because where else would you be? We're having a polite discussion on if we need more home decor, right? So everyone there with me, the polite discussion. And as we're having this discussion, this tall figure walks around the corner and is like, "You're Christians, aren't you?" And I'm like, "That is not how you say hello." and we were like, "Yes." And he goes, "I am too. Nice to meet you. My name's Travis. I'm a pastor at Summit Church." And just, it was literally just out of the blue, just craziness. And so we have been, following Pastor Travis for the past about 5 years, just, through online, and then, our paths have finally crossed, and we've been attending here at Summit for just a few months, and I have been so grateful that the team here at Summit is allowing me this opportunity. And so, real quick, if you don't know, there is the lead pastor here, Pastor Travis, and he would say a servant among many. And so, but he is exactly who God has called him to be. And I want to say, as someone, I've been in ministry, I've been a youth pastor before for many years, altogether in about youth ministry for about 10 years, serving in ministry for many, many years after that. And he is exactly what you would want as a lead example of who Christ is. Walking into Target, walking in and just having the courage and faith to see God's glory on someone else or God's presence on someone else, and then also proclaim it if it wasn't true. And I want to say thank you so much to Pastor Travis and Kristen, you guys, opening up this opportunity for me and my family and for so many here. And so, Travis, I know you're in the middle of preaching, but when you do watch this, if you do watch this, I want to say thank you. And so, again, this is a huge opportunity and blessing for me. All right, so we're diving in into John. It was read earlier about John chapter 8, and it goes into verse 31 through 38 is kind of where we're going to be focusing on today. And there's a great preacher, theologian, whatever you would like to call him, named John Piper. And he did a great job summing up what I think true freedom is. He said this. He said, "You are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, and the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets forever." That's what true freedom is. You have the desire, the ability, the actual opportunity to do what you want to do forever. And I would say this, if you look, if you don't have the desire to do a thing, you're probably not truly free. If you're being forced into it, you're probably not fully free. You can sometimes muster up the willpower. You can sometimes do what you need to do, but no one would say that's full freedom. And if really not a way to live. And then there's, you know, the actual ability to do something. If you don't have that ability to do it, you probably aren't free. You wouldn't have the ability to do what you desire to do. And if you don't have the opportunity, or if it's going to cost you your life in the sense of what you're choosing to do, if it is going to condemn you forever, it's probably not true freedom. And so as we dive in today, I kind of want to set that as the platform of as we continue through and as we talk through exactly what God has placed on my heart today. And so in John chapter 1, 31 through 38, Jesus goes on and he says, right, he's telling the people, he says, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are the descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father." Let's take a moment and pray. God, we are so grateful for who you are. God, we know that you have a divine appointment for each one of us. God, you've placed a special calling over our lives. God, and we ask that you would show us your freedom. Show us what you are calling us to. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, how many of you know what slot cars are? Anyone? Oh, okay, I've got a few, good start. I grew up in a small town that we had pretty much no real forms of entertainment other than this hobby shop, right? And it had slot car racing. And a new restaurant came to town. Not going to promote anything, but me and my friends, we'd get our $5, we'd get a foot long, and we would go and walk to this hobby shop. And they were right near each other, right? So it wasn't like a far walk. And as we were eating our footlongs, we would watch slot cars. And again, I grew up in a town. I grew up in Pennsylvania. It's small, small town. And this was our exciting moments. Slot cars. And what it is it's this little car that has, you know, like a little peg or a little, I don't even know, because I wasn't that into it. But you would put it on this track, and then there would be someone that had like this little controller that they would squeeze like the trigger. Now is everyone starting to get where I'm at with the slot cars? And as soon as they would squeeze it, it would be like, phew! And fly, and you would be like racing all around, and they had like cool twists, turns, up, down, you know, all through these tunnels and everything like that. And the only thing about this was, is when you were racing slot cars, you couldn't always hold down the trigger because the trigger was the gas, right? So as soon as you go around a corner, if you were holding on or squeezing onto it too hard, it would fly off the track. Now, some of these guys that were there, and you might be this person, maybe growing up, this was you, they would spend a few hundred dollars on these slot cars. And I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. It's like not even a real car. Like you're spending money on a thing that's gonna break. That doesn't make sense. But for me, we would go, and they had some at the slot, you know, racing thingy-mabobby hobby shop, and we would go pick one out, and it was one that they would provide, right? Because they were like, hey, people are going to crash these things. Well, that was me and my buddies. We were like, oh, we are going to crash these things. Like, this is our goal. Like everyone's goal was to try and win, except for our goal was to see if we could all go around the bend at the same time as fast as we could to create the biggest crash that we could. And this was our exciting times. And as I was thinking through that, as I was kind of thinking through that, it kind of reminded me of about freedom. Because what happens is that car has a specific place where it's designed to be in. And if it's in alignment, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. But when the person that maybe is not really the creator or the one who values or sees the value of it tries to grab a hold of the controller and starts pressing the gas to see how far and how fast and how quick it can go, it crashes. And this sometimes I think is almost like our life. We try and take control. We try and get the control, and we're like, I know best. And we start trying to line our life up with everyone else, and we're like, all right, this is going to be the best thing ever. And everyone grabs their own control instead of letting the Creator take control. And you start going off the rails, and you're like, well, now I can't do anything. Because as soon as the slot car comes out of its track and out of its alignment, you know what it does? It just stops. Stops moving forward. It doesn't do anything. It just is like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to lay here. And if I could paint a picture of what that freedom looks like, it would be that. Getting yourself in alignment with what God has called you to. You see here, it says in verse 31, and I read from the New Living Translation, but I want to take a minute and read from the ESV or English Standard Version, because I think it expresses this beautifully. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now, if we just take this at face value, we just think right away that it's okay if I read God's word, I'm good to go. And we have to remember that sometimes the English language doesn't do the Greek right. And so we look at this and we look at what God may have been saying then and there so that we know what's going on here and now. And so when we look at this, it's saying this. If you abide in my word, so if you abide, meaning to remain, to stay steadfast in. This abide is not just like, hey, you're kind of near. It's fully wrapped in. You're so immersed in. And then it says, my word. And the word, again, for the Greek here is logos. And this would be the indication of Jesus saying, just so you know, if you're fully immersed in me, right? Because what do we see in the very beginning, right? About 8-9 months ago is when we started John, right? John 1:1, it was very clear, right? He said that if you, can we jump? Yeah. So Jesus, jump to verse 1. Sorry, I'm going through real quick. In the beginning, the word already existed. The word was with God. The word was God. And what did we learn? We learned that it was Jesus. We're learning that this same message that Jesus is now telling them to abide in is him saying, hey, if you will cloak yourself, remain and abide in me, that's how you will be known as my disciples. He says, you are truly my disciples. This moment here is Jesus letting them know, hey, in life, you can know all the scriptures you want. And it will be helpful. I'm not saying don't read the word. Please don't be like Travis. He said don't read the Bible. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to wrap yourself in and surround yourself so deep into God and it's so deep into Jesus. And you are a disciple. You are a disciple. What this is saying is not you'll become a disciple. Not when you know enough, when you finally get to a certain point, you'll be a disciple. No. It's as soon as you say, Jesus, you are my Savior. Jesus, you are the one I need. Jesus, I want so badly to be wrapped up in your presence. You are a disciple of Jesus. And this is key. Why? Because they're sitting back. The Jews here in this moment are sitting back and they're so wrapped up in this process of law, 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 law. And Jesus is saying, it's me, me, me. I think sometimes we as people, as Christians, our goal is to try and figure out what's the best way we can help ourselves. The self-help book industry has never been bigger. And again, I'm not against this. Please, please hear that. I think there's benefits to it. But I think if you're willing to spend only your time in reading about who you are, you're missing out on being plugged in and connected to the power of the person of Jesus Christ who's already proclaimed who you are. He's already called you his son. He's already called you his daughter. In the very beginning of chapter 8, he literally has this woman that's thrown at his feet. And his description of her is so a term. He says, daughter. He's proclaiming, you're mine. Not woman. What are you doing here? He's like, daughter. Daughter, you're mine. And this is what Jesus is saying. Be wrapped up in who I am, and I will be about you. Because when you abide in me, you truly are a disciple. And I love here that they're like, they're going on, and we read, and it says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And their exact response to this moment blows my mind. It kind of is like, I don't think they know what they're talking about. Their response is, but we are descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free? This doesn't make sense to me. Do they, like, in that time, they knew their history. Right, like we may not know all of our history now. We homeschool, me and my wife, we homeschool our boys, and you know, we kind of walk through history, and sometimes like as I'm like reading through some of this stuff, I'm like, oh, wow, didn't know that. And so I could almost picture this, but back then they knew their history. They knew where their lineage was from. And they're saying, We are descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved. Did you miss the whole book of Exodus? did you miss all of Egypt? And I'm like, God, this doesn't make sense. How could they think that they were never enslaved? Well, what they're counting on is they're saying, well, we've always held ourselves in high esteem. The world may have you know, controlled us, but we always were in high esteem. And Jesus is like, I don't care about that. You can hold yourself in whatever esteem or value you want, but if you don't see the true value I've placed on your life, you'll never get it. If you don't see the freedom that I'm willing to offer you, if you don't see the value that I'm willing to place on your life, because I'm giving up heaven and I've come down to earth to offer you the truest freedom you could ever have, if you don't understand that, I'm so sorry. You are enslaved to yourself. Jesus is making it very clear when he says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you're abiding in me, when you're in me, you will know that I am the one who sets you free. It is not you. It is not anything else that you can offer, because they're so used to, at this point, offering sacrifices and being considered in their mind free. I am telling you, there have been many moments in my life where I have done things that I finally am like, I'm free. I've overcome that. I got past that. I don't have to worry about that. And then a month or two goes by, and all of a sudden, there I am again, entrapped and enslaved to the same thing that I once was. God's like, are you doing this on your own, or are you going to add me in on this? Are you trying to fight this battle of life on your own, or are you going to bring me into your marriage? Are you going to bring me into your fatherhood? Are you going to bring me into your job? Are you going to bring me into everything that I need to be in your life? Because everything that you do, everything that you could consider about doing should always be Jesus. Hey, I'm going to work today. Jesus, I hope you're with me today. Because I got a few coworkers that, well, I need patience. Don't teach me patience, because I don't want to have to go through the frustration. But But just give it to me already. Oh, I got kids. I got four boys that are just wonderful. And they are so amazing. They really are. But sometimes they're not. Sometimes, God, I need you to teach me how to be a dad. I need you to teach me what they need. Because in this moment, I have no clue. I have a wife, and she's phenomenal. The best. I know every husband says that about their wives, but I'm there. And here's the real reality of it. I'm not a great husband all the time. I do my best. I mess up a lot. Don't ask her. But the reality is if I stop asking Jesus to be in my marriage starts to slowly tear. If I don't ask Jesus to be in charge of me as a son of the High King and say, God, I need you, my life quickly starts to fall apart. My life starts to just really feel like it's overwhelming. Freedom doesn't actually feel like it's free at that moment. It feels like a struggle. It feels like everything I got to do, every battle I face, no matter what I'm doing, as soon as I walk into a situation, I'm like, oh, I'm overwhelmed. And Jesus is saying, if you abide in me, you truly are going to know the truth, and that truth will set you free. I think if I could walk into every moment and know exactly what was true and right, man, it'd make life a lot easier. It would help me in so many occasions. And we go on and we see Jesus' reply as they said, yeah, we've never been slaves to anyone. Jesus is like, truly I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. At this moment, I can picture the hush in the crowd as Jesus is walking through and he makes that statement. Because what they were thinking, their freedom was like a kid at Disneyland or at an all-inclusive resort, and they're like, ah, free ice cream. And you're like, free? Who do you think paid $1,000 this week for you to be here? Per person. What do you mean free? You didn't pay for that. You just get to reap the rewards of it. And as he's saying it, as he's saying, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone commits a sin is a slave to sin. They're all of a sudden now like, well, I've committed a sin many times. I just thought I was forgiven. I thought, you know, if I offered the sacrifice, I was good. What do you mean I'm a slave to sin? And Jesus is making it very known that slave ensnares us by making anything look more desirable than him. When you desire something more than Jesus, it's causing you to sin. Even sometimes the good things can cause you to sin. I want to be so wrapped up and spend all the time with my family. However, if I only spend time with my family and never with Jesus, I am not setting up my children, myself, my wife for freedom. I am setting them up for them to think that it's all about them when really they need to see that it's all about Jesus. They need to see their dad looking at the Bible. Your family, your surroundings, they need to see your reliance on who Jesus is. Nothing can be more important than Jesus. Jesus goes on and he states, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Meaning, hey, once you establish your abidance in me, because I'm free, you are free. Because you take on everything of Jesus. Jesus is calling you to be with God, to be right there with God and saying, hey, our righteousness is now established upon you. And when you start feeling that weight, you're like, oh, I don't want to go back. I don't want to live the life I once lived. I don't want to be caught up in the things that I once was. When we look at an illustration of freedom, I kind of want to go to one of my things that I've done once in my life, but man, I can't wait to do it some other time, hopefully, you know, with people, my boys eventually. I don't think I'm going to be able to convince them, but I want to go skydiving again. How many been skydiving? Anyone? Oh, exhilarating. Best feeling ever. Like, it was unreal. You get up there, you like look out, you're like, what are all those tiny dots? And you're like, oh, that's a house. Wow. I mean, it's just so exhilarating. And if we go back to the quote by John Piper, he says this. He says, you are fully free when you have the desire, the ability, the opportunity to do what will leave you with no regrets forever. And so, let's suppose that's our scenario. Let's take a look here, and when we get ready to review this, it says that we look at it like this. You're on your way to go skydiving. You've done everything you need to do. Now you're just on your way. And as you're on your way, all of a sudden, you are driving, you hit a pothole, pop a tire, spin out, crash into, we'll say, a telephone pole. Well, all of a sudden, you no longer have that opportunity to do that. Right? You can't go skydiving. You got to stay. You got to finish out the police report. You no longer have that opportunity. So now you're not free to go skydiving. Or let's say this. Let's say you make it to the airport, but actually it turns out that you all of a sudden realize you skipped all of the classes to go skydiving by yourself. You were like, hey, I just thought I could show up. I thought if I just show up, I'll be all right. I got here. I can't wait to go. And then they look at you and are like, hey, you don't have the certification to do this. You had the opportunity to, but now you don't have the ability to. Then we go on. Say all of a sudden you make it to the airport. You've done all your classes. You're up in the plane. And all of a sudden you're looking out over the edge and you're there and you're like, all good. Not for me. No. Well, now you had the opportunity, you had the ability, but your desire is gone. If someone pushed you out of that plane, you'd be like, that's not me. That wasn't freedom. I didn't feel free. I didn't want to do this. I got pushed out of plane. We'd all be like, yeah, that's not true freedom. Now let's say this. You're driving. You get there. Man, this is so awesome. I'm there. I had my opportunity. I got there. I finished my certifications. I get up there. I look out the window, and I am like, yeah, buddy. and I jump out the airplane. And as I'm going down, all of a sudden I realize, oh man, my parachute's gone. I'm not going to regret it for very long, no. What I do is I find out that I do get to regret it. You see, you need all of this. Because there's things in your life where you're going to find out you have the ability, you're going to find out you have the desire, you're going to find out you have the opportunity, and it's going to lead you to destruction. It's going to lead you to a situation where you can't do it permanently in your life, and you won't be able to do it forever because it's going to condemn you to hell. Away from Jesus. And what's going to happen is you're going to sit back and you're going to be like, man, I wish it would have been different. I wish that in this moment I could change something that would have changed the whole course of my life. And this freedom that we're talking about, this freedom that Jesus is talking about, is saying, look, if you abide in me, you'll be set free, and you'll be set free forever. You won't have to turn and be like, ah, I wish that something different would have happened in my life. I can tell you this, there have been many, many things that I have prayed for God to bring in my life. And I am so grateful that he didn't. I'm like, wow. Yeah, God, thank you for saving me from myself. Some of you in this room, and myself included, we've been chasing after something. And you feel like, ah, this is bringing me freedom. And the reality is, it's not. It's bringing you destruction. You look and you read through verses like this, and you set up and you're like, yep, the Son has set me free. And I'm truly free. And yet, when you try and have that relationship with God, you're not sure what to do. You're not sure how it looks. You're not sure how this even manages to play out. I want to let you know that abiding in Christ does look a lot like reading his word. Abiding in Christ is knowing what he says about you. Abiding in Christ is truly looking after and looking out and saying, yeah, God, I see what you're calling me to. I want to encourage you this morning, as you read through, as you look through the rest of John, the moments where Jesus says to them, I am. As he proclaims over his life, I am. What I want you to also know is Jesus is proclaiming things over your life as well. You don't have to walk in through life with struggles of the weight of sin. You're like, oh, what are you saying? I'm not saying there won't be hard times. No. What I'm saying is when you walk through that hard time, you'll be able to see what God has for you. You'll be able to realign yourself. And you'll be like, ah, I grabbed the controller on that one. Went around the corner a little too fast. God's gently picking you back up and setting you back in line. Saying, hey, I'm here for you. Be aligned with my power. Be aligned with what I've called you to do. Jesus spoke his last words and said, I'm leaving you with a comforter. and a counselor. Take it. Take him at his word. Take him in these moments that you feel like I can't experience any sort of freedom, and take on what Jesus says. Take on and say, God, you are going to comfort me. You're going to counsel me. Your spirit is with me. Jesus is calling out for your freedom, saying, step back in, get back in line with me. And the crazy thing is I could picture the disciples at this moment as he's saying all these things, and they're reminded of the daily choices that he made. Oh yeah, I remember. I remember Jesus doing that. I remember Jesus speaking this over someone. Today, I don't know where you're at in your walk with Christ, but I'll tell you this, if you're in a situation where you feel like freedom, there's no opportunity for freedom in my life. I can't see my way out. We sang a song earlier, The Goodness of God. God's goodness will provide that opportunity for you. God's goodness will provide that opportunity for you to have the ability and the desire again to live life to its fullest. And so we end here, 37 through 38. Jesus gives us a warning. It says, yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father. When you make freedom about you, there will be no room for true freedom, because you make your freedom what people tell you freedom is. The world will offer, this is the easiest way to escape. The world will tell you, this is how freedom really looks. Jesus makes it clear. Freedom is found in him, and it's when you abide deep in who he is. So don't worry about making room in your heart for Jesus, because it's a fun phrase that we tell kids. You invite Jesus into your heart? Yeah. That's good. Again, not saying you shouldn't invite Jesus into your life and say, Jesus, you're my Savior. But really, it's, hey, are you willing to step in alignment with who Jesus is calling you to be? Are you willing to proclaim and say, Jesus, not my will, but your will be done? Not what I desire, but I'm going to surround myself so deep in who you are that every decision I make has to go through you. Every decision that I see in life to make doesn't go from my heart where I have you hidden in this box and then through my brain. No, it's my desires through you, Jesus. Because when you filter it through Jesus, when you filter every decision that you're making, every life choice through what he's called and what he's designed you to be, the freedom you'll experience is so deep. Jesus is not giving you information in a message. He's giving you an invitation to trust him, treasure him. Because he died, he rose again, and you get to live and be free, and free indeed. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for who you are. God, we know that you have brought eternal life into this world. God, and you have called each one of us to follow you, to follow in your grace and your love. God, for those in this room that are still trying to figure out maybe what this grace and what this freedom looks like, God, I ask that you would just pour out more love in their life. Give them the opportunities. Give them the ability. Give them the desire to seek out your freedom. God, because we know that when we trust in you, God, that it is going to bring true freedom for the rest of our life as we get to spend eternity with you in heaven. It's when we proclaim you are our Savior, that you are our lead, God, that we get to experience that freedom to its fullest. God, I ask for anyone in this room that maybe has been on the fence, God, of experiencing your love, God, that they would call on your name. Just say, God, forgive me. Draw me closer to you. God, and for those of us maybe who have called you Lord and Savior, God, but we still walk through life trying to find freedom. God, may we do the same. May we call out to you and say, God, draw me close to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.